A century ago, Rosenwald schools educated black children throughout the Jim Crow South despite segregation. Photographer Andrew Filer examines that story and what remains of those schools today in his new book, A Better Life for Their Children, Julius Rosenwald, Booker T. Washington, and the 4,978 Schools That Changed America, published by the University of Georgia Press. Andrew spoke with us from Atlanta. Andrew, thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you.
Tell us more about how you came up with the idea for this book.
I found myself at lunch one day with a preservationist leader here in Atlanta. This was in February of 2015, and she is the first person to have told me about Rosenwald Schools. I had just turned my first photography book into my publisher. I was thinking about what I was going to do next. This fit very much in the themes of the type of work that I do, but the story absolutely shocked me. I am a fifth-generation Jewish Georgian. I have been a progressive activist my entire life. And the pillars of the Rosenwald School story, Southern, progressive, activist, are the pillars of my life. How could I have never heard of this story? So I came home and I Googled Rosenwald Schools. And what I found was that there were several books on the topic, but there was not a comprehensive photo documentary on this program. And so I set out to do exactly that.
And to bring people up to speed who may be hearing about this for the first time or who haven't heard about this in a very long time, remind us who Julius Rosenwald was.
So Julius Rosenwald is born to Jewish immigrants in Springfield, Illinois. They had fled Germany and fled religious persecution. And he grows up across the street from Abraham Lincoln's home while Lincoln is resident in Springfield, Illinois. He rises to become the president of Sears Roebuck and Company. He turns Sears into the world's largest retailer. He leads the company from 1908 until his death in 1932. And he becomes one of the earliest and greatest philanthropists in American history. And his cause is what later becomes known as civil rights. And in 1911, he meets Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington, born into slavery, becomes an educator, is the founding principal of Tuskegee Institute in Alabama. In 1911, you have to remember, this is before the Great Migration, which doesn't begin until later that decade. And 90% of African Americans live in the South, but public schools for African Americans are mostly shacks, with a fraction of the funding provided to the education of white children. Many jurisdictions do not even have public schools for African Americans. And so in 1912, they create this program that becomes known as Rosenwald Schools. And they reach out to the black communities of the South and they say, if we want you to be a full partner in your progress. So if you will contribute to a school and we will count as your contributions, cash, land, materials, and labor. And if you will reach out to the school board, the white school board, because these must be public schools. So the white school board has to agree to own, maintain, and staff the school, pay for the teachers.
And this was during Jim Crow segregation.
Jim Crow segregation. And if you do those things, black communities involved, the white communities involved, Julius Rosenwald will make a substantial contribution towards school construction. And from 1912 to 1937, this program builds 4,978 schools across 15 southern and border states, and its impact is transformative.
And when we say transformative, we are talking about closing the gap in learning between black students and white students during this time of Jim Crow segregation.
Absolutely. So there's two enormous impacts that the program has. First of all, there's two economists from the Federal Reserve Bank who have done five studies of Rosenwald Schools. And what their data shows is that prior to World War I, there was a large and persistent black-white education gap in the South. That gap closes precipitously between World War I and World War II. And the single greatest driver of that achievement, and it is an achievement, is Rosenwald Schools. In addition, many of the leaders and foot soldiers of the movement to come through these schools. Medgar Evers, Maya Angelou, Congressman John Lewis, who wrote this absolutely glorious introduction to my book in which he describes his very first day of school, a Rosenwald school in Alabama. They all attended Rosenwald Schools.
How did you decide to capture this story through photos the way that you have in this book?
It's a great question because I knew from the beginning this was an amazing story. But how do you tell the story visually? And that was really challenging. So the first thing I would say is this. My process is to read and shoot and shoot and read. And the reading informs the shooting and the shooting informs the reading. And early on, I came across this extraordinary story. The program begins with a pilot of six schools all close to Tuskegee, where Booker T. Washington and his team can keep an eye on this. And Booker T. Washington has these photographs made of the students and teachers standing proudly in front of their schools, clearly representing the hopes and dreams of their community that, remember, has dug deep to help make these schools possible. And he sends these photographs to Julius Rosenwald, who writes back he is so moved by these images that he is committing to expand the program. Most of my work prior to this project has been in color. But in homage to these images that become part of the visual history and language of this program, these students and teachers out in front of their schools, this body of work is entirely in black and white and entirely horizontal. So that was the first decision that I made. And then secondly, I started out doing exterior images of these schools. The exhibition of my first work was traveling. I would drive to Greensboro, North Carolina from Atlanta with all of the images lined up or stacked up in my wife's SUV. And I would line up Rosenwald schools and I would shoot them all the way up to Greensboro. And then I would shoot them all the way back. And then 4 months later, I'd go take the exhibition down and I would reshoot. And I started with these exteriors. But I quickly realized that that wasn't a comprehensive story because of the 4,978 schools, there's only about 500 that survive and only half of those have been restored. But they were too small to be continued to be used in as educational use as most of them. So only a handful remain in educational use. There is this plea for preservation that's part of the story. There's an adaptive reuse narrative. So for the adaptive reuse narrative, I had to get inside the schools and that suddenly requires permission. And as I reach out to people to get permission to get inside of these schools, I am exposed to this extraordinary community, former students, former teachers, historians, preservationists. And I bring their amazing stories into this book through portraits of these folks. And then the last thing that I would say is, this is a book of photography, but I came across so many unbelievable stories, connections of Rosenwald schools to these poignant moments in American history, Trail of Tears, Great Migration, Tuskegee Syphilis Study, that for every image, in some cases pairs of image, I wrote a short story to connect this narrative to the broader sweep of American history and American progress.
What's one story out of all of those that surprised you?
There's one story that I was absolutely shocked by. Oklahoma was one of the states in the Rosenwald Schools program. And we are generally familiar with the Trail of Tears, the displacement of five Native American tribes from east of the Appalachian Mountains to what later becomes Oklahoma. What we generally do not know is that each of those Native American tribes had black slaves, and they take them with them on their arduous journey west. And when emancipation comes, these African-American, newly emancipated African-Americans form all black townships for both safety purposes and commerce purposes. And they actually send recruiters to the South to say, come join us in our promised land. And I'll jump ahead. Toni Morrison's novel Paradise is set in these all black townships. There are 50 of them. And 11 of these black townships have Rosenwald schools. There is one surviving school, the Rosenwald Hall in Lima, Oklahoma. Photograph of that school is in my book, and I tell the story of the creation of these all-Black townships. That, I found that to be absolutely shocking.
And what do you hope people take away from this book? I'm talking not only about people who would be familiar with the Rosenwald schools or the broader contours of the civil rights movement, but especially younger generations who might be hearing about this for the very first time.
Just two answers to that question. First and foremost, what I would say was the title of this book is A Better Life for Their Children. Julius Rosenwald, Booker T. Washington, and the 4,978 Schools to Change America. I want to go back to this idea of a better life for their children. Julius Rosenwald was seeking a better life for his children. Booker T. Washington was seeking a better life for his children. The African-American communities that contributed to these schools and dug deep to do so were looking for better lives for their children. We often think that issues of public policy are intractable in America, particularly those surrounded by race. But these are folks that were fundamentally optimistic about America and prepared to play long ball. And collectively, they changed this country for the better. And I think the central narrative of this work is that our individual actions matter and we can change the world.
And beyond the book, if people want to keep up on your work, where can they go online?
My website is andrewfeiler.com. Feiler is F-E-I-L-E-R. I have a news section on this website. Also, I'm on social media where I'm posting about various efforts to preserve some of the surviving Rosenwald schools and new information. Where people can buy the books at their local independent bookstore. It's also available on Amazon, or you can buy signed or personalized copies on my website. The museum show of this work at the Center for Civil and Human Human Rights here in Atlanta will travel. It's currently booked into 2024.
All right. Andrew, thanks so much.
Great. Thank you very much for having me.